This is a type of a relationship that's been around for a while, but now it has a new name. It's called Living Apart Together, or LAT for short. And it refers to committed couples who choose to live separately. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that 1.7 million married couples in the U.S. have made that choice. Separate apartments in the same building, different houses in the same city, sometimes different houses in different cities. Couples are finding new ways to maintain independence while being partners. Here to join us about independence, talk about independence in relationships, Dr. Julie Gottman. Dr. Gottman, co-founder and clinical director of the Gottman Institute. She helps couples strengthen their relationships. Dr. Gottman, thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you, Ross.
We got this. We asked this on Facebook, and Karen said this living apart together idea was impossible. She said, nope, relationships are forged when you're put in the position of choosing it daily, especially when it's mundane and possibly irritating or even boring. Nothing can take the place of those things. LAT, or living apart together, is sexy, but it isn't romantic, end quote. Dr. Gottman, living apart together seems to work, though, for some couples.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ross. You know, I think that folks have a fairly rigid idea of what constitutes a good relationship. And the reality is that as diverse as we are as human beings, we also have lots of diversity in terms of our relationship preferences. So what that means is that for some folks who really do prefer much more autonomy and independence in their relationship, they can make it work even though they're living apart. But what's most important to maintain the romance, the passion, the connection in the relationship are what we would call rituals of connection, which means ways that they predictably connect with one another, care for one another, are there for one another at the times when they both feel that's most important.
Does distance make any difference? You could live apart together in adjoining apartments, or you could live apart together in Seattle and New York City. Is the increased distance make it more difficult to achieve those important connections regardless of where you are?
You know, it's interesting. I think they do, but less and less as technology improves. So, of course, if couples have the resources to be able to travel across the country to see each other frequently, it's less of an issue. However, for most people, that isn't the case. But on the other hand, we have Skype today, we have internet connection, we have texting, so people can stay in touch more frequently. But I do admit it's much more challenging, I think, when the geographic distance is greater.
Earlier this week, we spoke to Judy Hess. She's a relationship counselor in California. She and her partner have found independence by living apart, and she said that for her, the living apart together lifestyle is crucial.
We're both people who really need our solitude. I know for me, if we get into some difficult situation, we can just say, okay, you know, I don't think this is working. I'll see you tomorrow. And then when we meet up the next day, we're fine.
And Judy told us that where she's from, people are very understanding of her living apart together relationship, but she said not everyone reacts that way.
Recently, I met somebody from India, and I was talking to him about the ideas that we're talking about, and he said, why would you do that? I mean, I got married so I could have a home with somebody. And then people will start to wonder, are you really a couple? And what makes you a couple? Do you not love each other because you don't want to see each other 24/7? Well, the answer has nothing to do with that.
Dr. Gottman, is the need for solitude something we all need, whether we're living apart together or living under the same roof?
You know, it really depends. I think some people are much more introverted than others. And when they are, then they are energized by solitude. Now, with that said, what Judy was pointing out is that when things were not working out, they separated for 24 hours and would talk to each other the next day. That is something that 24 hours is a bit long for most couples to endure, but if they are both really struggling and getting very escalated physiologically as well as in their voices, how they're expressing themselves, taking a break from each other for, let's say, 30 minutes to an hour can be very, very helpful in calming down their physiology, calming down their emotions, so that when they come back together again, it's almost like they've had a brain transplant. They're two different people. They're talking in a way that is more gentle, more calm, and more measured. However, most couples don't need to live apart in order to achieve that kind of small little bit of separation, calming down and coming back together. But some couples, I think, like Judy and her partner, obviously really do appreciate greater distance. And as long as there is an understanding for both partners, where it's really meeting both partners' needs to maintain that independence, then I think it really can work.
Dr. Gottman, at the Gottman Institute, you do a lot of research into literally what makes couples tick by finding out what happens physiologically when they're having discussions together and what goes on. And when I see that 1.7 million married couples in the U.S. have made the choice to live apart together, I wonder if there's been enough research done to determine whether this can promote strong relationships or whether these types of relationships tend to fall apart more easily than people living under the same roof. Do we know?
Well, you know, I think there's an important caveat that we have to look at here, which is, are they merely committed or are they marrying?
Yeah.
Whether they're gay or straight, I'm happy to say. At this point, what we've seen in the past, in our past research, is that couples who are committed but not married, at least within the heterosexual population, don't actually have as much of a strong commitment as folks who actually kind of sign the papers. However, these days I think the current generation is choosing more and more to commit without marrying. And unfortunately, for some, I think that's the result of having grown up within divorced homes, where they saw lots of pain and lots of struggle between parents who were attempting and failing to make marriages work. And it has soured people on the notion that marriage can really be a successful and long-lasting relationship. As a result, they're choosing to commit to one another, but at the same time to keep the back door open.
Dr. Gottman, you and your husband live together and you work together very closely at the Gottman Institute. How do you find independence in your relationship?
You're absolutely right. You know, fortunately, both of us are very independent people, and so we really support each other's independent projects, activities that each of us loves to pursue. For example, my husband is not only a psychology researcher, he's also a mathematician, and he loves to explore physics and math. Well, yours truly is not so mathematically inclined, so he pursues that independently while sitting in our living room, and that's just fine. I have done things like mountain climbing, going to the base camp of Everest, whereas my dear sweet man would be altitude sick on a ladder. So as a result, he really nurtures my dreams, which are my own, not shared with his, and he feels nurtured by me. And that's really the key to preserving independence within a relationship where you are also living and working together.
Dr. Julie Gottman, co-founder and clinical director at the Gottman Institute, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Ross. Have a great day.
So I hope you learned something, at least the new acronym, LAT, Living Apart Together. 1.7 million American couples are doing that. Married couples are doing that. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.